I got instruction for the ladies on modesty, on conversation, on things of that nature. And the difficult thing about that is that I'm not an expert in those areas. Amen. I'm not. I have what the Bible says. Hello? You better lighten up. I mean, I know I kind of like put the chill on it a little bit, but ease up where it's going to get real weird, man. It'll get real rough. This is Bible that we're going to look at here tonight, okay? We're Bible believers. This is a Bible-believing church. And I guess I'll say this, maybe by way of introduction, maybe just by way of rambling. I hope it ties in. Many of you know, I've given my testimony as far as how I grew up and kind of what I grew up around. I grew up, though, for those of you who don't know, I grew up around a fundamentalist. What we would call, for those of you who are interested or know or want to know, I guess, it was a brighter church, okay? They clung to brighter doctrine, Baptist bride doctrine. And so if you don't know what that is at all, I can help you out afterward. I'm not going into that. But one of the things that marked them was their outstanding, heavy-handed standard on dress, on hair, on the outward appearance, okay? And, of course, I was a young punk, and I had no interest in those things whatsoever, but I saw the fruit of it. And I saw the fruit of it. I was able to observe the fruit of it over a period of, oh, say, maybe almost 15 years, and now it's been 30, and I can still go, and I can still observe the fruit of what that does. When you try to regiment spirituality by dressing in such a manner, or having your hair, ladies or men, in such a manner that this outward appearance will produce spirituality, you get anything but spirituality. What you get is carnality, and you get the flesh, and you get religion, and you get self-righteousness, and those are arguably the worst sides of carnality. I'm just talking plain with you here tonight. I'd rather just have flat out, no holds barred carnality than that kind myself. I speak as a fool here tonight. I speak in the flesh. You take your pick. You can pick whatever kind you want. Maybe you'd like the other kind. Neither one of them's right with the Lord. I'll guarantee you that. Now, so what I'm doing here tonight as I go through this thing, I'm not setting forth a dress code. I don't plan to. I don't intend to at any point ever in the future. I'm not going to do it. You say, well, what if they start wearing fill in the blank? Well, then we'll address that when we get there. Amen. Because you're on a slippery slope when you get in here and say, well, okay, all the women are going to wear dresses. Okay, all right. I don't want to get too far into myself here, but you got to be careful when you go down that road. You got to be very careful. And there's a reason why we don't have a standard that way in particular. So, what is your standard then? Well, it's found in the passage here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 9. Okay, been talking to the women or to the men. Excuse me. Really, in particular, that's what he was on, verses 1 through 8. Really, everybody, okay, not just to the men, but he says in verse 8, he says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. That's not to the exclusion of men, of women. They're not excluded from that, but the statement is directed to men, is it not? I would take it that way. You may not, okay? But I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. You say, why would you say it's directed toward men? Because now he's going to direct a statement to women, and he says, in like manner. In like manner that the women, okay? This is what the men ought to do. In like manner, also the women, okay? So here's what the women ought to do, right? That women adorn themselves in what? That's my dress code. That's my dress code. So what's the dress code? That women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, when you get down to the definition of it and you start defining the lengths and the tightness and the what it should be and all that kind of stuff, I can't go down that road with you. I just can't go down that road with you. I will say this. There are things that if worn in this church in order to go to a place of service, if you were to wear them, I will address you and you will not be serving if you were wearing, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you show up in it, you'll know. You say, what is it? If it's something immodest. Immodest. You say, as a general rule, you want me to lay the thing out? Cover it up. Cover it up. Cover it up in such a way that doesn't attract attention. I want to read to you the definition of modesty and just kind of go through some things and lay it out as best I can. Modest. Modest. It's properly. It's restrained. Get that, restrained, all the time, and I'm talking to men and women, okay? Listen, we both have the same flesh, all right, in that you've got the carnal nature, the old man. But it goes without saying that men deal with things and struggle with things different than women do, okay? As a general rule, men are going to have a difficult time with their eyes. They're going to have a difficult time guarding their minds. What do women have a difficult time doing? They have a difficult time fighting the desire to attract attention. Be in the limelight and have the eyes look their way. It'd be a wonderful place if neither of us had the problems we have. But the truth of the matter is, we're in a sin sick culture, and we're fallen, man. We're fallen, restrained by a sense of propriety. You're holding something back. You're holding desires back. You're restraining something that is innately inside of you. If you're going to dress modestly, you're dressing in restraint. That is, there's a natural desire that you have inside of you to dress a particular way, ladies. And if you're dressing modestly, you're restraining that. Hello? I can take it the other angle and talk to men. Men need to restrain their eyes. They need to cast down imagination, so on and so forth. Yes, that's there. But if there's modest apparel worn, the two are helped. Amen. Hence, not forward or bold, not presumptuous or arrogant, not boastful, not loose or lewd, moderate, not excessive or extreme. It goes much further than just the dress, okay? And it goes all the way to the makeup counter. It goes to the perfume aisle. It goes to. Why do we do these things? What are these things here there for? They're there to attract. They're there to attract attention. They're there to attract the opposite. That's what they're there for. Now I'm going to get to the place because if you go down that line and you draw hard, fast lines, you say, here's what we're going to do. Before long, you're wearing a bonnet on your head or you're growing your hair down to the middle of your back and wearing dresses down to your feet all the time, and you think you're righteous because of that. And now you set that up as a standard. That doesn't work. Okay, but you have to balance it against saying, okay, well, do we wear the bright red lipstick? And because of our company here tonight, I honestly wanted to go a little bit further, and I thought about asking somebody to go, you know, teach a Sunday school lesson or whatnot, but I won't go that far. But there's a reason, there's a purpose behind everything that is put on or that is marketed to you at the makeup counter, ladies. Hello? Draw attention to the eyes, draw attention to the lips. That's all on purpose. It's not on accident. It's things that accompany attraction. It's things that draw the eye. Yeah, that lowly temper, this is modesty, that lowly temper which accompanies a moderate estimate of one's own worth and importance. We've lost that as a society. We don't have a moderate opinion of our own worth, intemperance. I hope we do in here. Okay, I'm talking about society as a whole. as a whole, everybody thinks of themselves more highly than they ought to think. They draw more attention to themselves than they ought to be drawn. Okay? I won't go through this whole thing, Ahmad. It's relatively long. It's fairly lengthy. I'll say this, okay? Webster has a particular subject, a particular line on female modesty. He also has a particular line on male modesty, for what it's worth, but I'll read you the female one. Modesty, in females, modesty has the like character as in males, but the word is used also as synonymous with chastity or purity of manners. In this sense, modesty results from purity of mind or from the fear of disgrace and ignominy fortified by education and principle. That is, there used to be a sense of not wanting to be in the limelight and fear of being thought to have that desire. That's not so anymore. They're pushed and pressed. Make your voice known. Make sure you get in. Make sure that you don't become a doormat. So much so that you become the head of the household, the head of the place. Things are backwards from what this book teaches. You say you're backwards. Okay, fine. I'll stay backwards. Right back here with this book, and you go whichever way you please, and set it up however you like. The Lord tells me very clearly how I'm supposed to direct my household. Amen. He says, unaffected modesty is the sweetest charm of female excellence. Amen. We'll see the Bible way of saying that. It says it even better than he did. But it's the sweetest charm. When a woman is modest, it's the sweetest charm of female excellence. The richest gem in the diadem of their honor. I'm not going to get to too much scripture here yet. I want to say a couple of things. The old preacher said, just as a practical matter, no woman was ever too poor as to not own a mirror. And there's a great deal of truth in that. What does that mean? Well, you don't have to work too hard to figure it out. What is she interested in? She's interested in how she looks. Why so much interest in it? Why so much trouble? Why so much care taken? It's a matter of attraction. It's a matter of attention. So, she's just all just who cares? I mean, don't brush her teeth. Don't comb her hair. No, it goes without saying that care need be taken. In modesty, in moderation, those two words go together. Hello? Can I give you a joke? You know, I'll laugh at it. I'll have to tell you to laugh at it. This is a joke, okay? Like I said, I'm not setting forth, I don't even know what you have on tonight. I don't care. To the best of my ability, I don't pay attention to these things. To the best of my ability. Okay? Sometimes your means beyond your ability. Hello? Okay. It's a joke. This isn't my joke. I didn't make this one up. So you don't shoot the messenger. You want to get into particulars? There's two kinds of women that shouldn't wear yoga pants. The ones that don't look good in them, and the ones that do. Cue the laughter, right? You say, well, what about them? I mean, that's... You say we won't just make them wear dresses. We'll let them wear pants. Okay, they'll get the pants so tight that there's nothing left to the imagination whatsoever. I'm talking plain tonight a little bit. Okay, I'm going to continue too. So what do you think about that? I think you ought to dress modestly. That's what I think. Okay, I think if it starts to bug your conscience, you ought to deal with your God and fix it up. Amen. I think, men, you ought to run your household, and I think you ought to have something to say about what your wife wears. And if she won't listen, well, then take it to the Lord in prayer, I suppose. It's a difficult thing. Amen. Amen, 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 preacher. So again, what do you think the dress code ought to be? You know, what do you think we ought to put in there? I think we ought to put in there, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's what I think I'll put in there. That's why I like that. Adorn yourself in modest apparel. with shamefacedness and sobriety. That's not talking about you walking around being ashamed all the time. That's talking about that sense of modesty where you're not constantly trying to draw attention to yourself, that you have some sense of the problem that lies within your heart and within your mind, and to some degree you try to restrain that by both your dress and your outward mannerisms. There's every area here I could go shoot off and talk about things that I thought about and that hit my mind, both in growing up and also that I've observed in churches. When it's out of order, you can tell. When the heart's not right, there's no dress code that could fix the thing up. If the Lord can't get with your heart and with your mind and straighten you out on how you ought to be dressed, I don't want to try, personally. Amen. Not with a dress code. That's for certain. Because if a woman has a desire to fix it up in such a way in which she draws attention to herself, she'll do it. She'll do it. She'll do it. And so what will it do? It'll cause her destruction. We'll see it in the Bible. It'll cause distress in the home, jealousy and envy, bitterness. Amen, 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 amen. Undue stress. Undue problems, difficulty, bring upon yourself swift destruction, bring upon yourself the fruit of what you're looking for. And the Lord, I read something on Facebook this week, something about talking about how a woman basically shouldn't be held accountable for how she dresses. It should only be on the man. That's not what this book says. That's not what this book says. Basically, the idea was a woman should be able to dress however she pleases, in whatever manner she wants, no matter, there should be no restraints put on it whatsoever, and she shouldn't be judged by anybody, and if anybody thinks otherwise, they're wrong. Well, according to this book, you're wrong. That line of thinking is wrong. There should be some sense of restraint and some sense of modesty that comes from the heart and a desire to walk with God and to please Him. Now, I'm endeavoring not to get into the details, but for sake of maybe just kind of trying to be funny and something I thought was funny that I read this afternoon. Again, this isn't something that I came up with, but let's say you set up a standard, okay? Let's say you set up a standard, and the standard is ankle length dresses that are. Make sure they're thick enough not to see through, and they're not tight, and they don't accentuate anything or anything like that, and that's the standard. Okay? And then you've got some kind of a activity, be it volleyball, be it head out to the lake, and the canoe flips over, and all of a sudden, you've got a problem. What happened? You didn't dress modestly for the occasion. Right? That is, there is something that would have been outside of quote unquote the standard that would have been better to wear in that situation, right? Given the activity. So you just can't go down that line. There's other examples of that, but that's maybe on a little bit on the lighter side, okay? Again, the primary example and the primary reason I wouldn't ever do anything like that, or don't plan to, at least at this point where we're at, in the realm where we are, is because I don't have any desire to try to manufacture spirituality. If you have a desire to walk with the Lord, then praise the Lord. The Lord will make you spiritual, and He will deal with you on how you ought to dress, ladies. Now read the rest of this passage here with me if you would, okay? He says, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, that'd be braided, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Well, that's not popular these days. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. So, well, we got a woman preacher. Well, you shouldn't have one. But to be in silence. For Adam was first formed. Then you say, that's just your opinion. That's just that old book. Again, I'll stick with the book, and you can go any way you please. Free country. Have any opinion whatsoever you want on the matter. This is God's opinion. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Did you get that? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And then we get into a verse, I don't know that I'll touch on it, other than maybe just briefly, I will read it here. I may go into it a little bit further. I'm confess to you very plainly, I don't fully understand what is being said here. I'll give you what I think is being said at some point, whether that be tonight or in the future. But he says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now, of course, we're talking about women, so it's not that it's completely out of place, but it's a little bit like, okay, what are we talking about here? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. And I'll just give you my practical mind on that. But let's look at a few verses here, okay? And, all right, we're doing okay on time. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, Jeremiah just went through this in 1 Corinthians, so I'm trying not to cover back over too much ground. In my opinion, I did a very good job and laid it out, you know, relatively plain, okay? Particularly on the matter of women speaking in church, women and preachers. Kind of was a little bit heavier there rather than on the dress and on the modesty side of it. If I remember, I mean, exactly what all he went through. I know he touched on it, but look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in what? You're gonna have a tendency to resist that. So you better fight it. So I don't want to fight it. Okay. It's to your own detriment. Anything that the Lord lays out for us that's clear instruction to us and we buck against it, he says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He says, he that hardeneth his neck and stiffeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. That's what the Lord says about it. Rebellion, it says, a sin of witchcraft. Amen. He says that ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's not just what she says. It encompasses more than that. The conversation of the wives encompasses her whole actions, her whole activity, her person, her being, who she is with the younger women, who she is with the men in the church, how she carries herself, and the conversation and the situations that she would be allow herself to be placed into, that encompasses the conversation. It's more than just speaking. I've mentioned that many, many times. Of the wives, that is, eyes are watching, people are watching, and you're having effect on others. Ladies. I'm just talking particularly to ladies tonight. Hello? He says, while they behold your chaste conversation, which is what it should be, coupled with what? Fear. He said shamefacedness and sobriety over there, coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. I have to say this so that we get there, so that you get clarity from me on it, okay? I'm not against braiding your hair or curling it or wearing some jewelry, all done in modesty. Can I say it that way? Again, where are the lines? Where does it get drawn? I mean, I can point to the extremes and I can point out to Hollywood and say, okay, if you come down the red carpet strutting like, whoever she might be, I don't even know who they are these days, and you've got a, you know, $15,000 dress on and you know, $200,000 worth of jewelry and the hair, you know, $20,000 haircut, I would say that's in excess. Okay? That's pointing to an extreme. Where the question becomes for you ladies is, where is the line for you? Because you don't have the means wherewith to right? 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 I mean, but I think that needs to be taken into consideration as well. I'm gonna show you that the Lord desires you to be well dressed, ladies. He clothes you that way. Amen. No, I'm not just talking about spiritually. I'm talking about practically as well. I'm not of the opinion. Now, again, I'm trying to be very careful as I can here tonight. I don't want to step on toes. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I think you need to be mindful, both ways. Okay. And you say, well, what do you mean? I mean, when you dress all the little girls in culottes and t-shirts that are three times too big for them, I think you're doing them somewhat of a disservice. Amen. Amen. So that's all I can afford. Fair enough. No problem. I would say this. We bargain hunt from time to time, and I know my wife does, and she's always looking for a good deal on something cute. Oh, and she'll show me, you know. Oh, isn't this cute? I got it for a dollar. Well, praise the Lord. My little girl here, okay? I got, you know, the little baby here. We dressed her in a dress. I don't know what that thing costs. I don't go through that stuff. I know my wife watches it to the best of her ability, okay? But we don't bring her in a diaper on our hip. Sorry. So I think you dress in excess. I think you don't. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, it's, again, I'm not trying to tell you necessarily how to run your household, but I'm just trying to tell you, in measure and in moderation and in modesty. It's good to watch what you spend on clothes. Okay, that's kind of where I went with that. Okay, we were talking about walking down the red carpet or whatever. I think you can be very foolish and very frivolous and be too extravagant in that area. I also think that you can go the other way and kind of make it kind of tough on particularly your kids. Do what you want with that. That was free. Where are we at? We got lost in the weeds. Let's get it. Verse 3, who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of hair. So he says that's not the emphasis. That's effectively what he's saying, okay? Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. God's interested on what's going on inside, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Oh, I've never called him Lord. I don't show him that kind of honor. He doesn't deserve that, this and that and the other thing. Listen, that's a heart thing and a heart attitude that you're going to have to deal with and you'll have to wrestle with. I don't make my wife call me Lord. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a heart attitude and a approach to your husband. Do you honor him the way that the Lord desires you to honor him, ladies? I appreciate the silence. Whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And we won't go into that because I think it's different stuff as well. Where else do we want to go? Look at Titus. These are the cross references. I mean, these are the basic ones. Okay. You ought to kind of have these maybe even written in your Bible. Maybe some of you do if you got a reference Bible. Titus in chapter 2. Read a few verses with me here. Look at verses 3-8. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. So he's particularly talking to some aged women. Amen. And he says, there's some sense of responsibility for you to act in such a manner that you would be able to pass some propriety on to those below you. Amen, 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 amen. And I thank God for our ladies. And I'm not getting on you necessarily. I hope it's not really coming across that way too much. I am laying out my stance, if you will, on the particular area of modesty and dress. And I'm hitting some things. And hey, hit dogs yell. So if the shoe fits, wear it or whatever. If you get hit with it, then deal with it. Deal with the thing. But I don't have anybody or anything, or particularly our ladies, targeted here tonight. We're just in this area and we're going through here. So if it hits you and it applies to you, well, then take it. Take whatever it is. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Can the young women look to you and say, that's how a woman ought to love her husband? Can they? I hope so. I hope so. I think so in some cases. I think in others. Be mindful of this thing here. To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I often don't take that into account. You ought to. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That's good enough on that. Okay. Now look at Proverbs chapter 31, 22. Proverbs chapter 31. This is the virtuous woman. This is God's woman. Her price is far above rubies, the Bible says. And let's see if we can just grab some simple instruction about God's woman. Proverbs in chapter 31, look at verse 22. Like I said, I think you ought to be mindful of what you wear and what is spent on it and that kind of thing. Both ways. Oh, 21. Is that what I said? Did I say 22? 31, 21. Read it. She is not afraid of the snow. Why? For her household. For all her household are clothed with what? Scott, what's the idea there? It's nice. Scarlet is of high value. The best, if you will. Now, what does that mean? You get them the very best? No, that means you get them the best that you can get them. Clothe them in the best that you can clothe them within the parameters of modesty, both in the area of finance and looks. Okay, am I talking a foreign language to you here tonight? Well, I mean, you're looking at me like I'm just completely off base here. Did the Bible say she's not afraid for the snow? What if you spent all your money on something else? You spent it all on yourself. You didn't have enough to clothe your kids and come on in winter and I can't even get them a jacket. That's foolish. That's foolish, right? And so she's not afraid for her household. All her household are clothed with scarlet. Look at what she does. She maketh herself coverings of what? Tapestry. Those are nice things. Her clothing is what? That's royalty, man. That's royalty. Royalty wore silk and purple. Who is this? This is a virtuous woman. I don't think she's being extravagant. She's not being flashy. She's not putting on. She's not endeavoring to draw attention. She's just being well taken care of by her God. Okay, all right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in here right now. I'm going to settle on in on it. You know what I think you men ought to do? I think from time to time you ought to stick about $300 in your wife's hand and say, go get yourself something nice. So that's crazy. I can't even imagine doing anything like that. You'd spend it on a gun. You'd spend it on a fishing reel. You'd spend it on something else. Hello? Just say, here, honey. Go get yourself something nice. Amen, 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 amen. That was free too. You can do what you want with that. It's a lot of free things. You won't have to pay for much here tonight. My wife's thinking, you never done that for me. Hey, baby, you got the checkbook, okay? where are we at here? Let's find something else. Let's find another fender to kick. Look at Psalm 45. I mean, if we're going down the aisle, we might as well knock a few things into the cart while we're going. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, read a few things here. Now, this is talking about the Lord. And this is talking about those that accompany his court, if I can put it that way. The ladies that are near him. Read this, Psalm 45, look at verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Who are we talking about? Now, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Amen, 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 amen. That's what we're about to talk about here. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, the New Testament references this, hath anointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. all thy garments smell of what? Myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Amen. So it's wrong to put something like that on. The Lord has it on here. Yeah. Yeah, look at king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. What is he doing? He's calling the Samaritan away. He's calling the Gentile bride. It's who he's speaking to. He says, I want to dress you in some things, some glorious things, some beautiful things, some things that would cause me to be attracted to you. The Lord speaking to me. Are you still with me here tonight? I didn't go too far out of context here yet. So shall the king greatly desire thy what? That ought to be your desire, ladies. You ought to dress in such a way and order your lives in such a way that the king would greatly desire your beauty. If you did that and that was your mind and your heart, guess what? You'd be without reproach. You'd be above reproach. Amen. And if a man ever had any trouble with it, that'd be his problem, not yours. Hello? So don't let me excuse the men and their issues and their problems here tonight, okay? Sometimes you just can't avoid it. They got problems. Goes without saying, but the king shall greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious. Where? Within. But guess what? Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. I understand you can spiritualize all this, but I also understand, and I hope you can grasp here tonight, that to some degree, the Lord is saying, he desires, there's some element of modest beauty that the Lord looks down and he says, that's why I made women the way I made them. To be beautiful in that manner, in that respect, in that way. Amen. He made them beautiful on purpose. Hello. He made them attractive to you on purpose. That wasn't, it's not like, oh, oops, you know. Yeah. What happens though is if you're not careful, you take every advantage and try to accentuate and take the thing to the nth degree. And then you'll get yourself in trouble. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment and needlework, so on and so forth. With gladness and rejoicing, verse 15, shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. That's in the king's court. And so he's talking about the king's daughters there were thy honorable women. He's talking about who? His bride. What is she? She's gloriously arrayed. She's beautiful in a modest manner, modest fashion. All right. Well, how can we land kind of halfway softly? Because we got to go through a couple of difficult things. Well, there's the good side. Let me give you the bad side. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. So I don't think dress has anything to do with it. Oh, you don't, do you? Okay. Well, I told you the Bible has a contrary opinion. Let me give it to you. Proverbs in chapter 7. I know my crowd here tonight. I know for the most part, you know, go down the line here, it's like you probably agree with 98% of what I said here tonight. Maybe, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe you got different opinions, but I get to give mine, you don't get to give yours, so Proverbs in chapter 7, you get to have yours, you don't get to give it. Proverbs in chapter 7 and We understand the context here. I hope you do. I mean, it's looking out for the strange woman, and we've been talking about her, and we've been warning about her, as I've been teaching through Proverbs as well. And he beholds among the simple ones in verse 7. He discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, a young man who didn't know much. And I won't go too far down the road there, but the problems that I've alluded to that men have, a man void of understanding is going to be directed by those problems. Hello? Yeah. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight in the evening in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him there a woman with the what? Attire. What is the attire? That is the dress. That is the adorning. That is her clothing. It encompasses anything that she would have on. The attire of a what? So there is a particular way and particular things that you could have on, that a woman can adorn herself in and have the attire of an harlot on. I'm not going to go into the definition of what that is here tonight because of the company we're in. It doesn't need a whole lot of definition. The truth of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, ladies, if you're not careful, I'm trying to be very careful in what I'm saying here tonight. Don't advertise it. Don't advertise it. Why are you? That's my question. If you are, why are you? Again, if you are. There's attire that can be worn that places you into her company. Isaiah in chapter 3. Just looking at Bible commentary. There is a great deal that's said about this throughout the whole Bible. Isaiah in chapter 3 here tonight. This one's a little bit funny and then a little bit rough too. Hopefully we can kind of laugh and then kind of take it in sobriety as well. So, Isaiah in chapter 3, to some degree it's kind of where we're at as a society here. We're in trouble. And you say, well, you're for oppressing women. I've said, I'll say it all the time, I try to get as heavy-handed on as I can, where this book is proclaimed, women have more freedom, more liberty, and a better standard of living than any place where this book's put down. Do a little bit of traveling and help yourself out. Do a little bit of reading and help yourself out, lady. You say, we're oppressed here. You're out of your mind. You have more freedom and more liberty and more honor given to you. And particularly 50, 60 years ago, when this book was held in higher reverence, ladies were held in high regard, watched out for, the door was held open for them, taken care of. All those kind of things that went along with chivalry. You know, the old saying, chivalry is dead. Man, if it ain't dead now, boy, it's flopping on the floor. Somebody put it out of its misery, I guess. It's just pathetic. Not just ladies either. I mean, you go to different places, man. I can't tell you how many times I've had the door just slam right in my face walking in behind somebody. It's like, what's going on around here, you know? Hold the door for people. Literally, you don't hardly have to do anything in this day and age to kind of stand out as like somebody with a little bit of manners. It's just insane. Amen. Ma'am and sir, I've been told many times not to don't call me sir, don't call me ma'am. I've been told many more times don't call me ma'am than don't call me sir. What is that? Again, I don't want to get off way into the weeds there, but look at where we're at. Isaiah 12, look at verse 3, 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Hello. So what do we got in America here? Kids run the house and the women... are in charge of that. So I don't think it's that way. I know it's that way. I read. I know the statistics. If you don't, that's your own ignorance. You can stay there if you please. That's where we're at. That's the place in which we're in. Children are their oppressors. Children give them all their trouble, run their household, and drive them crazy, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. So he's pleading with them, but he's also a righteous judge, and he's going to judge righteous judgment. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard, and the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, I'm going to go on. The Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are what? So he's gonna kind of dig his heels in a little bit, in particular, with these women who are by the Lord's own commentary, ruling over them. They're haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. The Bible has a wonderful way of painting the picture of the way it is. I couldn't draw it for you better than what it just laid out for you. It's a head held high. It's a haughty attitude and a way in which she carries herself so as to make you know and let you know I'm in charge around here. Walking and mincing as they go. And so there's a particular way they walk. I was down in the street yesterday, and I watched a woman with her two children. I'm sorry. Teenage boy, teenage girl. Girl walk like a boy, walk like a girl. Say, so how do you know? There's a way. There's just a way. You can observe. It's observable. You can watch it. You can see. And you say, well, why is that boy kind of walking up almost on his tippy toe? I can't walk like a girl. I can't do it, man. But there's a way. And when I see it, I go, that stands out. What's the matter here? There's something wrong here. And the girl just kind of clunking along like a boy. What's the deal here? Women walk like women. I don't know how to teach you how to do that. You know how to do it just fine. Just stay walking however it comes natural to you, okay? Don't clunk along there. Boys, clunk along. Flat-footed, you know? Like a caveman or whatever, you know? However you were made to walk. He says here, they're walking unorderly, disorderly. There's something about the way they walk. They're mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. How do you do that? I don't know, but I suppose you would know it if you saw it. Therefore, the Lord will smite thee with a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet. And their calls, and their round tires like the moon. It's going to go along here, and you're going to wonder if we're at a car show or if we're at a movie theater or whatever. He says their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments and the legs and the headbands and the tablets. And the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods. I told you we're at a car show, man, or we're wondering where we're at. And the veils, all the stuff, man, all the things. The Lord goes through it and he says, all the stuff that accompanies, this particular group who's oppressed and taken over and taken the place of men. Say we're there, and all it has to do is with the outward adorning. No. Don't misunderstand me here tonight. This is where a society gets led, and when it gets all the way to the place, and I don't know that we're there. I don't know if we're as bad as this society was. I don't know. I'm not sure. Sometimes I think we have to be far worse, and other times I think how bad can it get, and then you see something, you read something news, you say I couldn't imagine it would have gotten that bad. See what he thinks on up ahead. I think it's going to get worse if the Lord tarries. I think it's going to get worse. So how long are you going to have to stay here and put up with it? As long as the Lord tarries. I don't believe we're going to the tribulation, but I think we could sure see dark days if the Lord tarries. Amen. I don't think we're going to experience the wrath of God, but we might experience some of the judgment of God. We already are. We're experiencing some of the fruit of not standing up for righteousness. We're experiencing some of the fruit of not holding our God in regard and walking in modesty and just living right. Living right. Men and women. The hoods and the veils and so on and so forth. Look what the Lord says. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be what? Stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. So I'll rip that thing. This is funny to me. I mean, it might not be funny to you. This is funny to me. He says, does that smell good to you? Guess what? Instead, I'm going to make a stink there. Oh, you got everything tucked in there? Guess what? I'll just tear that thing right down the middle, and then we'll let it, as the saying goes, let it all hang out. Hello. Yeah. He says a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a stomacher, man, that sounds painful, man. A girding of sackcloth. Oh, hold on, honey. I got to run back in the house. I forgot my stomacher. Just leave it. It's not helping. It's not doing what you think it's doing. You know, that's the case so many times, man. I mean, the one that goes to the furthest extent, it's like, listen, that the stomacher didn't do it. You know, I'm sorry. A girding of sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she shall be desolate and sit upon the ground. You actually get this picture painted for you a couple of different times in the Old Testament. It shows up in Ezekiel 16. We'll not go there. You want a good commentary on the effects and on the Lord's warning about ladies in particular. Now, it's a spiritual application. If you want to write it down, Ezekiel 16, you go through there. And you go through there, and the spiritual application is there, but the practical application is there as well. And it gets into verses and things and warnings. I wouldn't even read the verses in here tonight. That there's some of the Bible that really is for private reading. There's some verses in the Bible I'd never preach them. I wouldn't mention them. I mean, even here tonight, you're going through some, and you're going, good night, man. Bible talks plain. It doesn't pull a single punch. It lays the thing out 52 face up, and then gives you the choice. You can do what you want with it. And so we're there here this evening, and I'm done here tonight. I don't think I want to touch on anything else. I'm not done with this passage, okay? I know I'm leaving it on kind of the rough side of things, okay? But I can tell that's enough. We're full here tonight. We're kind of wore out. We'll touch on the good things next time, okay? The good works that accompany a modest Christian woman, and how that should look, and what that should be like. And I know that's in here, and I thank God for it, okay? And so I hope, ladies, I hope it didn't feel like I was your oppressor here tonight, I'm scrutinizing every little move and every little thing. I'm not. And again, to the best of my ability, I'll try to let my eyes look right on. Not just in here, everywhere, all the time, wherever I'm at. Let thine eyes look right on, man. It's like, listen.